you searching for happiness, this the way to go. You say you want peace, this the way to go. If you trying to see Jesus, this the way to go. We all wanna live, this the way to go.
The show,
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 this the way to go.
The show.
You are now listening to the Way to Go Youth Podcast with Pastor Jerome Baker. This podcast is an outreach of A Place of Refuge Church located in Carrollton, Georgia, where the pastor is Bishop Barry Walker. Our vision is to help youth and young adults to be productive in every aspect of life according to God's Word. Now, let's receive Pastor Baker with today's message. You are listening to The Way to Go.
And the topic. Now, our text in Exodus chapter number 4 is a record of a conversation between Moses and the Lord. Again, it's a conversation that was recorded by Moses because he wrote the first 5 books of the Bible. And it's a conversation and some experiences that he had with the Lord, our God. Now, real briefly, when it comes to Moses, one of the primary things I believe is important for us to know about Moses is that many historians will call him a deliverer. But when you study scripture, you'll further find out that Moses was a chosen pastor. He was the pastor of God's people, specifically Israel. And as young men and young women, we understand the importance of a pastor or a shepherd. God chooses or gives us shepherds according to his heart to feed us with knowledge and understanding. Now, in Exodus 4, verses 1 through 7, the Lord is doing 2 things for Pastor Moses that's very important for us in our day and time. He is giving and equipping Moses for his purpose. He is giving Moses what to say and what to do so he can fulfill his God-given purpose in life. God desired to use Moses to not only pastor his people, but to lead God's people out of bondage. And so the Lord is just simply equipping him with his purpose. And as I stated earlier, God does not change. He remains the same. He still gives young people, young adults, and others purpose for their life. And it's very important to make sure while you are young that you find out what is God's purpose for your life. You need to know it. You need to have a knowing of your purpose. Why, Pastor? Because God's people are destroyed for a lack of knowledge. You need to know, why did God create you and put you here on this earth? You need to know purpose for your life. And everything that you do, you need to make sure you do with purpose. You don't do things just to do it or because everybody else is doing it. You need to make sure that whatever you choose to do, you know your purpose behind it. Lord, I don't like this job, but let me ask you something. What is my purpose for being here? Lord, I got this money. Before I just blow it, what's the purpose for it? Relationships that I'm in. Lord, does this relationship, is it Is it purposeful? Or is it a waste of my time? In everything that you do, young folk, you need to have purpose. Even when it comes to you worshiping God, don't just come to church just to come. Don't have the mindset as a child to where you're to the point to where, well, I just go to church because mama said I need to go, grandma said I need to go. No, you need to understand the purpose for church, and then you walk therein. Don't grow up being a young woman or a young man and you have no purpose in life. You don't want to do that. Matter of fact, let me show you why. Y'all still with me? Let's go to the book of Proverbs. And again, God is equipping Moses with purpose. And again, God does not change. He gives us purpose. Okay? Let's look at Proverbs, if you will. Proverbs, I believe I want to go to Proverbs 29. Now, why are you turning? Of course, when we talk about purpose, we're talking about a plan, a strategy, a reason or an objective for doing a particular thing, right? All right, let's go to Proverbs. Proverbs 29 and 18. And look at what Solomon wrote about purpose. He says here in Proverbs 29, 18, where there is no revelation, or the King James Version says purpose or vision, the people cast off restraint. But happy is he who keeps the law. See, if I don't have purpose in my life, I'm going to mess myself up. If I just do stuff because it's trending on social media, I can mess myself up. If I just do stuff because my peers are doing it, I could mess myself up. And I don't want to mess myself up. I want to be happy. So I need to make sure that whatever I do, even if it's not popular, I'm having or living with purpose. And you'll go through phases or stages in your life as a young person to where you may not know your purpose. You know, You'll go through different things, and some young folk get depressed because they just don't have a good understanding of their purpose. You don't have to do that. All you need to do is do what Matthew said in Matthew 7 and 7. Y'all go to Matthew 7 and 7. You don't have to wait till you in your 30s and 40s to figure out your purpose. You can have that down pat right now. All right? Matthew 7 and 7. Well, how do I find out my purpose? It's so simple. Look at Matthew 7 and 7. Y'all ready? Ready? Go. Ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and it will be open to you. For everyone who asks, receive. And he or she who seeks, finds. And to him who knocks, it will be open. All you got to do is just ask the Lord, acknowledge the Lord. Lord, what is my purpose? Do I need to go to school? What school do I need to go to? Lord, what did you put on the inside of me? What qualities do I have on the inside of me that I could be productive with and be a blessing to others? Ask and you shall receive. Y'all with me? It's just that simple. And once you have determined your God-given purpose, just write it down. Make it plain. Start setting you some goals and striving to complete those goals in your life. Now, sadly, some young people know their purpose. They know God wants them to be productive in every aspect of their life. But sadly, some young people, they get out of their purpose. Sadly, some young folk know the will of God for their life, but they choose not to walk therein. And I see that happen often with young folk in this church. You know your purpose, you know the will of God, but for whatever reason, you get out of it. And that happens. That happens to preachers' kids. It happens to kids and teenagers that their parents are not preachers or leaders. Sometimes it happens. Why you say it happens, Pastor? Because it happened in Scripture. David was a man after God's own heart. He knew his purpose. But when you study David's life, occasionally he would just get out of the purpose of God. How many remember the story of David and Bathsheba? Did he step out of purpose? He stepped out. But then you look in the New Testament and you see stories like in Luke 15 about a man who had two sons. And the younger son, he was in his purpose, but he decided he just wanted to get out of purpose and go roll with his friends and wasted everything that he had. See, sometimes you get out of your purpose, and it's not right, but it happens. My question to you is, are you in the purpose of God for your life, or are you out of it? You have to ask yourself, man, am I in God's will, or am I on that dumpster? And it's mighty quiet because you got both in the audience. You got some that know they in God's purpose, but then you got some in here that know, I ain't in God's purpose the way I should be. I'm into doing some other things right now. And I would say, if that be you, you better be careful. You better be careful. Because to him who knows to do right and does not do it is sin. And the wages of sin is death. I don't know how you feel about it, but I would not want to get caught being out of God's purpose practicing sin. Because if that's the case, if I die in my sin, even though I've been in the church, you can lift your eyes straight up in hell. Woo! So you want to look at your life and say, man, am I in God's purpose? Am I being productive the way God wants me to be? Am I thinking, talking, and doing according to the will of God? Or am I falling away? Have I backslid? Am I being somebody that I know God didn't choose me to be? And see, we want to be called according to his purpose, right? That's what we want to be according to Romans 8 and 28. We want to be called according to his purpose. So no matter what we go through, we know it's going to work out for our good. Are y'all still with me? I got a quiet audience, but is you checking yourself like I be checking myself? The word will do that sometimes. But we got to make sure that we are in God's purpose. And again, sometimes, young folk, you step out of it for whatever reason. Temptation could just be putting a work on you. You know, sometimes that temptation, you thinking you strong enough, but then temptation come around and show you ain't as strong as you thought. And you find yourself overtaken in that temptation. And you be looking like, man, I'm out of the purpose of God for my life. But see, the good news for you on today is that our God can restore you. That's the good news today. The good news today is, if you are out of your purpose, God can restore you just like new. Yes, he can. He has the power and the authority to restore you just like new. Boy, that ought to be making somebody in here happy. That's somebody's way of escape, right? That God, you can restore me. I know I'm not where I need to be, but with your help, you can get me to where I need to be, because I can't do it on my own. See, if you keep talking that one day I'm going to get myself together, then you're just proving you can't do it on your own. But there is a God by the name of Jesus that if you call on that name, he can restore you. Because Paul said, whosoever call on the name of the Lord shall be delivered. Y'all ought to help me. Look at somebody on your row and say, the Lord can restore just like new. And see, to restore has a number of meanings, but I just want to keep drilling. First of all, to restore means to make new. It means to make new. God can be looking at you and your situation, but he can make it totally better. He can make it new. He can clean you up from the float up. Boy, we serve a God that specializes and cleaning up messes. I said, we serve a God that specializes in cleaning up messes that we cause. Well, why does he specialize in it? Because he got some blood that's pure. He got some blood that's holy. And he can sanctify us in the blood of Jesus Christ, or specifically with his word, and he can clean us up. Good God Almighty. But not only being restored means to be made new, it means cause to recover. Get some stuff back that you lost. Get some stuff back that the enemy took from you. And see, even if you're not in that place to where you are out of God's purpose, this is some knowledge you need to know. Because no man is above temptation. No man, the Bible says, is above temptation. You can be thinking, well, he ain't talking about me. Well, you keep on living. There are some things that can come your way where you can just remember, oh, Lord, I was taught about the restoration power of God. Let me put that in action, because I'm finding myself overtaken in my faults. You need to know that you serve a God that can restore you. And sometimes, young folk, listen, we need restoration, and it's not because of sin. Sometimes we need restoration because we didn't live by faith the way we should have. And we took an L. We lost some things. I said sometimes it's not because we sinned, and sometimes we just didn't handle life properly, and we lost some things. We came up short. We didn't get the victory the way we should have. Are y'all still with me this morning? But you need to know you serve a God that even when you jack yourself up, he'll help you up. He can cause you and I to recover or get things back. We serve a God that specializes in restoration. I got to show you some examples. I'm going to deal with these examples. I only got two, but I'm going to deal with them for a minute because I want us to see that our God can restore us. Now, before I deal with these two examples, let me deal with our primary text. As the Lord was preparing Moses to go to Pharaoh, he had to prove to him that he had all authority and he could do anything. And so he tells him in verse 6 and 7, he said, look, take your hand, Moses, put it in your bosom, pull it out. And his hand was leprous, white as the Bible says, as snow. Then he told him to take that same hand, put it back in your bosom again. And he pulled it out, and the Bible said it was restored like the other flesh, proving to the pastor, to the preacher, that God can restore or do anything. Man, what a great text. Y'all ain't as excited about it as I am. I said, that's a great text. That means no matter how low you get in life, even when you mess up, God has the power to turn that thing around. He can restore your life. Naturally, financially, emotionally, whatever you put on the table, God has the power to redeem or restore it. Is that some good news? All right, let's look at some things that God can restore that we need to know about our God. Let's go to Genesis 40. Genesis 40. Y'all learning? All right. Because I'm telling you, in your journey, young folk, in your journey, there are going to be times you just need some restoration. And there are going to be times where people tell you something can't be done. God cannot do it or it cannot happen. It is impossible. But we have to remember the God that we serve. With him, all things are possible. All right, let's look at Genesis, chapter number 40. And let's look at verse number 13. We're going to read verse number 13, and then we're going to slide on down to verse number 20. Y'all with me? All right. Look at this. Now, this is a story of one of my favorite people in Scripture, Joseph. Joseph had been thrown in jail by a false accusation. Somebody lied on him. So he got thrown in jail. Okay? So while he was still in jail, he was still walking in his purpose. And so while he was in jail, God was using him. And one way God used him was that he had the gift to interpret people's dreams. And so he was in prison, and there was two other men that got thrown in jail by the same boss. It was a baker and a butler. They made Pharaoh mad, and he threw them in jail too. So you got Joseph, the baker, and the butler. Okay? So let's pick it up in verse 13. So what happened was, I believe it was the butler, we're going to find out in the scripture, he had a dream and didn't know what it mean. So while he was in jail, he asked, could anybody help him? And so he found Joseph. It says, Joseph began to explain to him in verse 13, now within 3 days, Pharaoh will lift up your head and restore you to your place, to your job. And you will put Pharaoh's cup in his hand according to the former manner. That's what he used to do. He used to wait on Pharaoh. He said, God, go give you your job back. And when you were his butler, now it came to pass on the third day, which was Pharaoh's birthday, that he made a feast, verse 20, for all his servants. And he lifted up the head of the chief butler and of the chief baker among his servants. Verse 21. Then he restored, help me out, the chief butler to his butlership again and placed the cup in Pharaoh's hand. What do we see in the text? God can restore a person's job. The man lost his job, but then God turned right around and gave him his job back. I said, God gave this man his job back. He was fired from his job, but then God turned around and restored his job. See, our God, he control everything. And see, sometimes in life, young folk, you may have some issues on your job and you may get reprimanded, suspended, rolled up. But hey, remember, you serve a God of restoration. You got to remember, hey, if he gave this man job back while he was in jail, he can give me my job back. Now, my thing is, God going to do one of two things. Either he going to give you that same job back or he going to give you something better. Give you something back. Somebody said, I want the ladder. Well, whatever his purpose is. And let me tell you something. This happened to me. I had this woman, I was working for her. She was the boss of the company. And she fired me unjustly. Matter of fact, she gave me an ultimatum. She told me, well, you can either do what I say or you can go home. And I said, well, I'm going to go. No, because what she was doing, she wanted to use my vehicle without paying me. She wanted me to make deliveries for her company, but not pay me. That ain't right. And I said, you know what? I'm going to go ahead and go. And when I left, I went straight to the unemployment office. I did. And I started drawing unemployment. And I told the Lord, I said, no, Lord, this woman done fired me. And she fired me unjustly. The Lord didn't give me that job back. He didn't restore that job. He gave me something. He gave me something back. Now look at how the Lord did this. He didn't give me another job that paid the same. But he gave me another job to where it would make my availability better to where I could do some things according to my purpose. Now, Baker, I'm going to restore. I'm going to give you something better, but you're going to be closer to the church. You're going to make less money, but this is going to help you to walk in your purpose. And the only reason I took it is because I knew God was leading me to do it. You don't do that dumb stuff. You have to make sure, young folk, you are being led of God. You have to make sure you're being led of God. But when we consider my testimony and the text right here, how many see that God can restore even things like a job? So don't you get bent out of shape if things go down in your life pertaining to your career, your job, the workplace, and so forth. God in control. God in control. The same man that fired him was the same man that hired him back. And I don't know who the Lord is talking to in here this morning, but you need to understand God even run things on your job. He run things on your job. The job sign out there, it don't say owned by Jesus the Christ. It don't say that. It got some other corporation name on it. But the Bible says the earth is the Lord's, the fullness thereof. And we learned last week, he give his authority to whomever he choose. And that's why it's important when you work a job, young folk, you work on that job, as the Bible says, as unto the Lord. You work that job as if you know yourself, God in control of this. And if they get to acting crazy on this job, they're going to have to deal with my God. That's the mindset you have to have. And so we see that in this text right here. Joseph in jail. God used him to tell this butler, God going to give you your job back. He's going to restore it back in 3 days. Now, when you read the text, this was funny. Joseph told him, said, now, look, when the Lord bring you out, remember me. He said, when you get out and get your job back, remember to tell Pharaoh about me. The Bible says when he got out, he forgot about Joseph. Ain't folk low down? But when you read the text, even though he forgot about him, God still restored Joseph. Still blessed Joseph. Because folk will forget about you. Woo! I said, you help folk and they will. They'll forget about you. And since we're on that point, let me tell you this. Whenever you do things for folk, you make sure you're not doing it just to make them happy or to impress. You make sure when you do things for folk, it's a God thing. It's a God thing. Lord, whether they talk to me after this or not, I did it because you told me to. Whether I help this person or not, however it go down, you the one who led me to do it. You don't never make it about people. Or yourself. Always be led of God. But how many see in this text here, God will even restore your job back. Now, if you the type of young person, you like to quit your job every 2 weeks, we ain't talking to you. We ain't talking to you. You got to be faithful. Y'all hear me? You know, some folk, they like to get a job. Man, I'm out of here. That's what the millennials like to do. Man, go fill out an application, go to the interview, get hired, and then quit in 2 days. Don't do no dumb stuff like that. Be faithful over the small things. Be faithful over the small thing. Be faithful in that internship right now you ain't getting paid for. Just be faithful. Be faithful. God told you to take that internship and they ain't paying you a dollar. Be faithful. Just be faithful. Just be faithful. Lord, you told me to take it. They ain't paying me, but you told me to take it. Y'all hear me? See, these are life skills that you need. I don't want y'all to be like some of these millennials out here. Be on that dumb stuff. This man this week told me that worked for the city. He said, man, these two folk we just had, they just walked off the job. Just walked off. Didn't get no 2 week notice or nothing, just left. He said, man, we in the bind. I said, for real? He said, yeah, man. Now, y'all listen to this and learn. Y'all still with me? He said, they gonna leave the city and go work at another job that pay the same hourly wage. And so they felt like what they were doing was smart. He said, man, but I be trying to tell these young folk, we pay the same hourly wage, but with this job, you got what's called benefits. We pay your insurance, your doctor, and all of that. And the other job that they went for, it ain't got no benefits. See, young folk, you can't be on that dumb stuff. Can't be on that dumb stuff. Y'all hear me? But back to the text while I'm venting. God will restore even your job. We done heard testimonies about God restoring a car. Bishop was talking about how he got a car years ago taken from him. And the same folk that took it from him bought it right back. We serve a God that restores. Are y'all getting this? Lord have mercy. Let's go to 1 Samuel. You getting it, Junior? He the only one clapping. Let's go to 1 Samuel 7. You don't have to put unnecessary stress on your life and on yourself when you know you serve a God that restores. What am I going to do? Trust God. All right. 1 Samuel 7. I love this. My audience, y'all learn? All right, look at verse 14. Then the cities which the Philistines had taken from Israel were restored. Good God Almighty. And they were restored to Israel. Let's try that again. Then the cities which the Philistines had taken from Israel were restored. What do we see? God can restore what enemies take. God can restore what enemies take. The Philistines was one of the chief enemies of Israel. In fact, in scripture, we usually hear about Israel and the Philistines going back and forth. Even David got mixed up in it when he fought Goliath, a great Philistine. But here in this text, we see that the Philistines had taken something from Israel or taken some things from Israel. But I love how the Lord broke it down and said everything that they took, it was restored back to them. See, sometimes, young folk, sadly, we don't fight for the victory. We don't fight for what God has already promised we could have. We don't endure hardships, and our enemies take some of the promises and the bounty of God from us. But when you are a true worshiper, when you live by faith, God can get you to a place to where everything that your enemies took from you, he'll make sure that you get back. I've had poverty take some things from me in my past. I said one of my enemies was poverty. It took some things from me. Some of it was because I allowed the enemy place, and some of it was because of my misdoings. But the enemies took some things. I done been to the point to where I done lost property. I done lost some other things. My enemies had taken it from me. But over the years, I have been able to experience the restoration of God to where he gave it right back. Lost a house, but God blessed me with a couple of more houses. Lost it to my enemies, but he came right back and gave me more. And I want you to understand, young folk, if you just so happen to lose some things in life, the God that you serve is able to restore it. He can give it back. There was even one time to where David had matured to where he understood that God would restore things to him. He asked the Lord, should I go and recover it? Should I go and get back what the enemy took from me. And the Lord said, go and recover all. Go get it all back. David went on a rampage and just slaughtered his enemies and got his wives back and got all his stuff back. He recovered all. And see, I want you to understand about your God, young folk. Sometimes you suffer loss in life, but God can help you to get it back. I never forget. I was my worst enemy at this one particular time in my life. I had went to possess something, and I didn't handle it right. I messed myself up. I went to get this, it was a car. And I'll never forget, it was a Tahoe. It was a Yukon Tahoe. It was pretty. It was green on the outside and peanut butter on the inside. It was pretty. It was sitting up hot. I had that vehicle 30 days. 30 days riding hard. Boy, riding clean, looking good. I was so glad didn't nobody ask me, where that car at? My enemies, they took it. I messed up. But then over the years, God caused me to get my desires back. Things that I lost. Man, at one point, God had blessed me with a way I was able to have 6 or 7 cars at one time. And all of them be paid for. It ain't like I had 6 notes, but all of them just paid for. God will cause you to recover what you lose or what your enemies take. I done lost money over the years by doing some dumb stuff. Me and Elder Leaks, you hear him back there? Doing some dumb stuff. But I'm walking in that Luke 6 and 38 that Minister Shaq were talking about earlier today. I'm walking in that now. I ain't reached that top level yet, but I'm walking in it. Did y'all hear the stage that she was talking about? Good measure, press, down, shaking, together and running over. Them different levels right there. And see, when God calls us to start recovering and he start restoring, you just going to be walking in them levels. Oh, that's that good measure right there. Oh, Lord, I'm in level press down. Oh, that's that shaking. That's that running over. And I can be happy for other folk that's in levels higher than me because I know mine on the way. God causes us to recover. He can restore what we lose, what we mess up, or when we get on that dumb stuff. God can cause us to recover. How many see it in these two examples right here? One man's job, and then Israel got their stuff back. And we learn this again from the experience that Moses had with the Lord, to where he stuck his hand in his bosom, brought it out, it was one way, and then God restored it when he put it back in his bosom. We serve a God that restores. We serve a God, again, that can make things new, and can cause us to get things back. How many in your mind right now, you got restoration on your mind? Lord, I need you to restore and make things bigger and better. Woo! It's hitting 307. It's hitting where we live. I said God is causing us to experience bigger and better. Restoration is taking place. But it's just not at our house. It's at some of y'all houses. It's in some of y'all houses. It's in some of y'all lives. Man, God done blessed us so good during Rona. Restoration been taking place. Everybody else talking doom and gloom, but God been good to us during Rona. I don't know how y'all feel about it. God been good, young folk. Restoration. And see, that's the type of church I want to be in, where it's not just happening for the pastor. It's happening for the members, too. Good God. I said it's happening for the members, too. God causing young folk to recover and get some stuff. Possess some stuff. Own some stuff. Go some places. Am I talking about you on today? Y'all help me encourage somebody to say, we serve a God that can restore like new. I'm going to stop right there. Let's give our God a hand clap for the teaching on this morning. Let's put our hands a little bit harder.
Thank you for listening to today's message. Please be sure to stop by Pastor Baker's website. Go to www.jeromeabaker.com. Until next time, remember, Jesus came that you might have life and have it more abundantly. You just need to know the way to go.